Good morning. If you have your Bible, I would ask you to turn to the book of John. And I would like you to turn, not to chapter 1 this week, but to chapter 20. Ray Charles, how many of you know who Ray Charles was? Okay. Well, he's gone now. He was a legend in the music industry, and he once said, you better live every day like your last, because one day you're going to be right. Time's a funny thing, right? I mean, we all get a certain amount of it, but none of us knows how much that is. We go about our lives in such a way that a lot of times we fail to remember this about life, and that it's not forever. I think especially when we're younger, we live our lives without any thought of the fact that life could be over in a moment. But then something happens. A loved one passes away, or a child gets married, or a baby is born, and we are once again reminded that life is temporary, that today very well could be our last day. The disciple whom Jesus loved, John, had that very clearly in mind as he penned his gospel. In the book of John, as we've seen over the past several weeks, he's laid out his thesis at the very beginning in chapter 1. And that's what we've been studying over the past many weeks. He didn't want to waste words in the beginning. He wanted us to know just what he believed Jesus to be, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. He further makes his point at the very end of his book in chapter 20, and this is where we're going to look at this morning. He makes the case in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, that everything that he wrote, which as he describes isn't even a percentage point of what Jesus actually did, was written to help us to believe the thesis of John chapter 1. That Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. So I want you, I want to read this together as we read, as we have our scripture reading this morning. Would you please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word? We're just going to read these two quick chapters. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to jump in to what we're going to be talking about this morning. This is John chapter 20, verses 30 through 31. Here is what God says to us through the Gospel of John. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and goodness. We thank you for the grace and mercy that are ours through Jesus. We thank you for the grace and truth that we can know about you. We can know who you are. We can know what you're about because of what Jesus did and because of who Jesus was and is. And Lord, I pray that this morning, that as we look at these two verses, and Lord, as we try to flesh a little bit more out of what it is that you are trying to say to us through them, that you would help us to understand, first of all, why you sent Jesus, but Lord, also help us to apply these things to our lives so that we might be changed because of having been here today and hearing from your word. I pray that the words of my mouth would not be my own, but that they would be yours, and that you would use them in the power of the Spirit to accomplish everything that you need to accomplish today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So, as we look at this passage, we see a couple of things that really jump out to us right at the very beginning. And that is that John says here in verse 30, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples. Now, if you're taking notes, the first the first bullet point that I want you to write down on your notes is that is just these two words, much more. Much more. The things we have recorded here in the book of John, that John says, it's just a portion of what Jesus did. In fact, if you flip a page over into chapter 21 and to the very last verse of chapter 21, verse 25, or chapter 21 and verse 25, John says this: Jesus did many other things as well, and he says he makes this summary statement. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Now, so there's much more that's not recorded for us about Jesus, about his life and teachings. Now, here's the question. Now, let's think about this for a second. How old was Jesus when he left this earth? About 33 years old? 33 and a half, maybe? So, could you have a book that describes every detail of 33 years? Yeah, absolutely. So what is John getting at here? I think even if we were to have a detailed history, that the books written wouldn't fill up the whole world. So is John engaging in hyperbole here, or what does he say? Here's what I believe John to be saying. I think John is saying here that if we were to write the stories of Jesus from the time of his birth, even until the end of his ministry, but even beyond his ministry, what Jesus accomplished through his disciples, through those who followed Christ because of the disciples' ministries, for those who followed Christ because of the ministries of those who came to Christ because of the disciples' ministries, and on and on and on down to here, September 25th, 2022, that each of us could write a book, or several. We could write about what Jesus had done, because Jesus is continually doing things. He's not done working. Jesus said when he was on this earth, he says, "My Father is constantly at work, and I too am working." And so I think what John is getting to here is that as we begin to think about the things that Jesus did, not just when he was here on earth, but the things that Jesus does, that the whole of the earth, if we were to write down everything that Jesus had done for us, or everything that Jesus had done for even just the folks in this room, that we could definitely fill this entire building with books. See, God is calling all of us to be that book, that storyteller, that one who is at work sharing the stories of Christ in our life. In fact, when we look at the Great Commission, and when we see that word when Jesus says, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, while water baptism might be implied there, I'm not sure that's exactly what he's implying there. I think he's talking about baptizing or immersing, which is what that word really means, immersing disciples into the culture, if you will, of Jesus. The name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is immersing people into an understanding of who Jesus is and what he's about. And we do that as we share our lives with each other, as we share our stories about what Jesus has done for us. When I hear Denny share a story about what Jesus has done for him, whether it was recent or whether it was when he was younger, it immerses me into who Jesus is. Or even when my daughter Abby tells me something she's learning in her devotions, it immerses me more and more into who Jesus is. And this is what I think John is getting at here, is the fact that we have a lot more to tell about Jesus. And while we have the Gospels, and while we have the canon of Scripture, which is those books that are truly from the Holy Spirit, and these are the ones that we build our faith and life upon, There are also stories and things that happen when we begin to share those stories and immerse disciples into the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so I want to challenge you, even now as we look about this much more, that there is much more for you to share about what Jesus has done in your life. Whether it's with your children, whether it's with your spouse, whether it's with your neighbors, whether it's with those who you are sharing Christ with. We share our stories. We challenge people. We live our lives for this very Messiah that John is talking about, that John has described in these 21 chapters of his book, of his gospel. So there is much more to be said about Jesus. But if we're going to our next bullet point here, we want to talk about these few. Okay, so John says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, much more. But these are written, these few. So let's look at these few. So as you read your Bible, as you read the Gospels, you need to understand that God, first of all, wants you to know him. The very reason that we have the Bible today is because God wants you to know who he is. What he's like, what he thinks of you, what he desires from you, what he expects of you, how much he loves you. Listen, God's love is deep and wide and long for you. There's not a place, the Psalms tell us, that we can go away from the presence of God. If we go up to the heights of the heavens, he's there. If we go into the depths of the earth, he's there. If we go to the bottom of the sea, he's there. Even if we try to hide ourselves in darkness, he is still there. We cannot get away from him. Why? Because he loves us and he wants to be around us. Think about the people that you love. Think about your grandkids or your children. And depending on your season of life, that might not be a good example. But that was a joke. Anyway, you have a sense in which the people that you love, you want to be with. You want to be around. You want to spend time with. And this is who God is. He loves us and wants to be with us. And so he's always with us. God wants you to know his plan for you. God wants you to know how to live and how to respond in each and every situation of your lives. We talk about in our statement of faith that the Bible is for us our sole standard for our life and for our practice, meaning how we live our lives and the things that we do as individuals and as a church, that we want to base everything that we do and everything that we say on the Scriptures. That we don't want to be doing things because it's the popular thing to do. Or we don't want to be doing things because, psychology says this is the best way to go about it. We want to do it because it's based on Scripture, because God has a plan. And when we follow God's plan, there's success. Because he's the one who created it. His ways are so far beyond our own, but he wants us to know those ways. He wants us to know how he works. He wants us to know how he does that. And he wants you to know about him, but he also wants you to follow him. Two words I want you to write down. The first is obedience. There's a sense in which God calls us to obey him and to walk in obedience, to walk in saying, whenever God says, this is what I want you to do, we say, yes, Lord, I'll do that. Right? There's a worship song that's out right now. It's a newer one, but it says, when you say what you say to do, Lord, I will already say yes, even before you ask. And so there's this idea that God is calling us to obedience, but he's also calling us to submission. Now, this is the second word, and I want you to write it down, but this is the word that we don't like. We don't like the word submission. I mean, when you think about wrestling, submission is a term of defeat. But really, that's what God wants from us. He wants us to die to ourselves. He wants us to submit to His plan for our life. He wants us to submit to what He wants us to do. Young people, you look at the life that you have ahead of you and you think, man, you know, I got so many years ahead of us and ahead of me, and this is what I want to do, this is what I want to be, this is what I want to do, become. And sometimes, and I know I was like this as a student, that I didn't even think about what God wanted me to do. And instead, I thought about what's going to make me a comfortable living. What's going to make things better for me and my family if I should have one. And so I started making choices based on that. But when we submit to God, we become like Daniel. We become like the three Hebrew children, right? That we're saying yes to God even before the issues come up. And you think about their Babylonian names were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? You think about those three guys, and they had already made their mind up before they even went to Babylon that they were going to follow God. They were submitted so that when the time came to make the choice, there wasn't a choice to be made. They knew God's law, and they knew what God wanted them to do, and they were going to obey regardless of the circumstances. This is what submission is. This is what it means to submit to God. And so as we read our Bible, we begin to see that God wants us to know about Him, but He also wants us to follow Him. And so that our Bible reading becomes more than just an exercise that we do every day. It becomes an exercise in, first of all, head knowledge, knowing what God wants us to do and to be, but it also becomes heart knowledge as we submit to what God wants us to do and be and walk in obedience to Him. So as we read these words, we begin to understand them. But we also need to have this as we pray, right? God wants to have a conversation with you. Prayer is not a one-way street. Prayer is conversation with God. Which means what? Which means we speak to Him, and then we allow Him to speak to us. Whether it's through His Word, through the Spirit, through someone else, through... However, God will speak to us in many different ways. Amen. But we listen to Him. And then when we hear Him, we speak back, we respond. One of the things that I learned in one of my discipleship classes is that there's a very real sense that as we read Scripture every day in devotional reading or however it is that we're reading Scripture, that response is absolutely critical. In other words, as I'm reading God's word and I read some, let's say I read in James chapter 1 where it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, knowing that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and perseverance must have its complete work in you so that you might be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Okay? So I read something like that, and what's my response to God? Well, a lot of times my response to God in prayer is, "Lord, please bless my day and help me to know what to do throughout my day," and so on and so forth. What should be my response in that? "Lord, whatever trials I face, whatever trials you choose to bring in my life, whatever testing comes into my life today, I want you to be glorified in me. I want to persevere. I need to have perseverance have its full work in me because I'm not mature. I'm not complete. And I need that. So please, Lord, whatever it takes." And I respond to Him in prayer. So there's this conversation where we speak and we listen, we speak and we listen, and we have this conversation of God. But guess what? Here's another important aspect of this conversation, and why it's important is because God wants you to know things about Him that you don't know yet. How do I know this? I can prove it to you in the Scriptures. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3 says this: "Call to me." This is the Lord speaking. He says, "Call to me, and I will answer and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." How awesome is that? You call to me in prayer, And I will show you things that you have not learned yet, things that you don't even know that you don't know. As we pray, God will speak things to us that no human being could ever come up with on their own. Things will pop into our brain and we'll think about, well, maybe I should do this. And you think, where did that come from? That's not even on my radar. That's the Lord speaking to you. Listen to Him. And then when we put these things together, look, when we put these things together, what we're learning about as we read God's Word, what we hear from God's Spirit as He speaks to us, these are the things that we as individuals write down in the book of our lives. These are the accounts of what God is doing in us and through us. And it is amazing for us to see. It is amazing for the world to see Jesus at work in us. So these few are given for that purpose, but they're given, and this is the third bullet point, that you might believe. The reason for it all, John says in chapter 20 here that we read, is that you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. The reason for it all is that you might believe that Jesus is who He claimed to be. That Jesus is who John in chapter 1 claimed to be. If you've got your Bible open to John again, I want you to look again at these four words. That you may believe. John writes what he writes so that you will believe. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That Jesus is the one. He's the Messiah. He is the God in flesh, that He is the one who came to be the sacrifice for our sin. That Jesus is the one, He is the one through whom we know who God is. It's what He said in chapter 1, right? Jesus came to reveal the Father. And He came from the Father. He is God the Father. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That in all of these things that we look at who Jesus is, we begin to understand better who God is, because Jesus became the Messiah. He became one of us, God in flesh. Jesus came from God, He went back to God, and that He is God's representative of who He Himself is. That God sent Jesus to show you and I how He loves us. God sent Jesus to this earth so that we might understand who God is and how He loves us and how He wants to have relationship with us. Not to have just religion, which is us getting to Him, which is us trying to get to God, but us having a relationship with Jesus Christ, or with God Himself. These things are written that you might believe, right? And that by believing, through believing, because you believe these things, you might have life. Eternal life in heaven, which, by the way, begins now. That our life in Christ begins now. That this life that we have, if we are in Christ, is an eternal life in which we are connected with God, we have relationship with God, we can experience God's presence forever, and also an abundant life here and now. And that's the abundance of this life. It's not an abundance of riches or abundance of blessing, because ultimately, when we look at the whole of Scripture, we see that God tells us over and over again that walking by faith and walking in Christ is going to bring us suffering and pain and trials. All right? So we don't believe that walking in faith means life is going to be easy. But the abundance of our life is in the fact that God and His presence are here and we feel it here and now. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to challenge you with a couple of things. So if you're writing these down, challenge number one is this. The question is, what do you believe about Jesus? Do you believe? Listen, this is the most important question that you could ever answer. Because according to what John is saying, that there is, that the answer to this question, what we believe about Jesus, is the difference between life and death. It's the difference between heaven and hell. Because heaven is a very real place. And I look forward to spending eternity in heaven. But hell is also just as real. And there is a place in which those who refuse to believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God, they do not have life in His name. They have death through that name because they are refusing to believe in the name of Jesus. Contrary to popular belief in our culture today, all roads do not lead to the same heaven and to the same God. There is one God, one Savior, one Lord, one Spirit, and one way to get to the Father, and that is Jesus Christ alone. And salvation comes only through Jesus. So what do you believe about Jesus? Do you wholeheartedly believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Son of God? Well, guess what? If you believe that, then it leads to what we were talking about earlier. It leads to obedience and submission. It leads to sharing our story about Jesus in our life. It leads us to many different places as we walk in submission to God's will for our lives. The second challenge question is this. As you believe, or what you believe about Jesus, that's the most important question. Second question is this. What story are you telling? It's important because we need to be sharing the story of Jesus with the people around us, whether through our words or through our actions. Remember the Ray Charles quote I gave you right at the beginning of our time together this morning? He said, "You better live every day like your last because one day you're going to be right." Friends, we need to be living our lives out in such a way. Because when we come to the day when we are gone from this earth, and your family and those who love you come and stand around that hole in the ground where they're going to put your casket, what do you want them to say about you? "Oh, he was a great guy. He was so funny. He was always good for a joke. He was a guy who loved to fish. He was a guy who loved to watch hockey. He was a guy who loved this and that and all these other things." Or do you want them to say something about how much you lived for and loved Jesus? Will the fact that you were a Christian be the first thing that pops into people's minds when they remember you at the end of your life? See, we're talking about something deeper here. We're not talking about superficial assent to the fact, yes, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. This is something that changes from here to here. This is something that says, I know it, but I am going to submit to that fact in my life and live in such a way that when people look at my life, the very first thing that's going to come to their mind isn't that he was a great guy or this or that or the other thing, but that he loved Jesus. And you might think, well, if I live that way, I'm going to turn off certain people that I won't have an opportunity to share Christ with. Look, do you serve God, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who's in control of all things? Yes, you do. So if you are talking about Jesus and people don't want to hear it from you, you keep doing what God wants you to do. It's not on you to stay friends with people who don't want to hear anything about Jesus. Now, it doesn't mean you can't be friends with people who don't want to hear anything about Jesus and that you can't still interject Jesus into those relationships. True, if you continue to do that and they don't want to hear anything about Jesus, they might not become or stay your friends. They might distance themselves from you. But that's not on you. Your responsibility is to be one who baptizes people into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You talk about Jesus. You be about Jesus. You live your life in such a way. This is what John wanted. This was the whole purpose of him writing his gospel, is that you might believe in that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in his name. In fact, John so much wanted to lift up Jesus that as he wrote his book, how did he refer to himself? He didn't even use his own name. He called himself what? The disciple whom Jesus loved. What a moniker! How would you like to be known as the disciple whom Jesus loved?
You are.
That was my next words. You are. You are a disciple whom Jesus loves. When you come to the end of your life, would people describe you as someone who Jesus loved? As someone who loved Jesus? As someone whose whole life was about Him? I know it's kind of a morbid thing to think about, but if we don't live today thinking about that day, we'll never do, we'll never feel the urgency of the things that God is calling us to do. The things of this life, the things that in the end of time, at the end of time, the end of life, don't really matter. Those become more urgent than following Jesus. So what story are you telling? What story are you sharing? And is that story drawing people to Jesus? Because it matters. It matters. Whether you're 85, 55, 25, 15, or 5. It matters. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for Jesus and for everything that he has done for us, Lord. We thank you for John's word in his gospel that help us to understand just how much you love us, and Lord, that you desire for us to live our lives out in such a way that it draws people to you. So Lord, I pray that you would continue to speak to us today, throughout today, as we think about how we're living life, as we think about what we believe about who Jesus is, and Lord, if and how that makes any difference in our life. Lord, help us to walk in obedience. Help us to walk in submission to you so that no matter what you say, Lord, the answer is yes. The answer is yes, Lord, every time yes. We love you, and we want to give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.